I understand a lot of people, they're not going to like this, but this is what ethics and morality is. You think that doing, quote, the right thing makes you a good person. I say that's not true. I think that's oversimplifying it because you want to have some semblance of self-righteousness. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sheepbeard Podcast. I'm your host, Austin Creed. My friends, we're going to discuss a very important topic today. We're going to discuss morality. Now, you see, one of the interesting parts about morality is people often equate morality and ethics in the same sentence. As someone who took philosophy in college, I myself had my ideas of the two being pretty much the same thing kind of thrown out the window on one end of the spectrum, and on the other end, I said, wait a minute, they're actually very similar. So we're going to ask the question, though. We're going to ask, should morality be the overall theme for men? Or better accurately, we ask, should it matter? Should morality matter for men? And it's, I think it's a very pregnant question. Reason being, because people are very quick to say, of course, morality should matter. I mean, why would you even say such a thing? I mean, that's ridiculous. Of course morality matters. To which I say, well, is that what you actually believe? Or is that what you've just been kind of conditioned? Because when I use the phrase morality, what comes to mind? Is it following rules? Is it doing what's best for the collective? Is it being a good person? What is it? What is it that it immediately jumps to your mind? I can guarantee you, you probably haven't thought that much about it. Because it's one of those subliminal things that we often don't even question because we don't think it's important enough to question it. When, my friends, I think it's incredibly important because we as men, we often have it used against us. We have it used and say, oh, well, you're a man, men do this. Or good men do this. Or you as a, if you want to be a good man and you want to be someone who's respectable, you do X, Y, and Z. Well, my friends, I don't like the idea of morality being weaponized. And I'm here to assert, before we jump into the videos, or we really jump into the conversation, I really want to assert something. I want to assert that morality is often used to the detriment of society, not its benefit. Now, when I say society, you might think I mean the collective. No, I think that overall, utilitarianism is the idea that the most good for the most amount of people is what should be the focus. I think that is wrong. The reason I think it's wrong is because it gives rise to weakness. Just look at the world we live in right now in the West, especially in the United States. We live in a country where the weak are propped up and the successful are pulled down. I remember, I will never forget this. It was one of the most important moments of my college career. I was sitting in my public policy class, my professor, we were discussing economics, we were discussing government's role in public policy when it came to economic opportunities, disparities, and whatnot. And I raised my hand and I said, Professor, I want to ask you a question. She said, okay, go ahead, Austin, ask the question. I said, okay, do you think that the system is designed not for the rich to lose, but not for the rich to win, but for the poor not to lose? I'll repeat that in case you missed it. I said, is the system designed not for the rich to win, but for the poor not to lose? She didn't like that very much. I don't know why, but she got floored and she was like, Austin, we're not having this conversation. You know, I'm not answering that question. And she moved on. And I was like, Oh, really?
Oh, hell no.
Okay, we planned it like that. In other words, that was me saying, okay, I'm right then. Because if we're not even going to have the discussion, that either means either A, I'm hitting a raw nerve, so we can't have a logical discussion. Or number two, there's a lot more to the story than meets the eye. Now, I tell that story not because I want to show how smart I am, but because I think it's a very pregnant question, a very important topic to this pregnant question that we're discussing of morality. Because you would like for the poor to have and for the rich to pay their fair share. people don't often feel sympathies for the rich. And I'm not here to be a water boy for the rich. God knows that the rich have their problems, but the rich have more problems than the poor I could ever dream of having. But we, as people who want to be considered nice and polite society, naturally want to cape for people who are often crippled by themselves. And so morality is often used to the detriment of people who have earned things. It often is used to benefit the people who have kind of screwed themselves up. So with enough of me riffing, we're going to jump into a couple of videos I have about the philosophy of morality. And I want you to leave your comments below, because I think this is a very important discussion. One that a lot of people might get triggered by, but that's good. Because when you get triggered, that then stems and signals to your brain that you're being challenged. And if you're being challenged, you either have to defend yourself or go on the offensive, or see that maybe your approach is wrong. Maybe you need to adjust, or maybe you're 100% right and you were just glad for the test. To me, that's very important, and I actively do that for myself, and I hope that you do that for your worldview as well, because I think it's important for every man, and arguably woman, if women want to do this, they would see a lot of success at it as well. But you need to have a certain code of conduct for yourself, a lifestyle, a mentality that you stick to. One of the reasons why this show, I think, is important is because it tells you about how you're being sheared or exploited. Not slaughtered, but sheared. In other words, you're being exploited. You're not being eliminated. Because if they were eliminated you, then that's a one-stop shop and then you're useless. Instead, they continue to come back, exploit you continuously, time after time, year after year, decade after decade. And that could be the government, that could be people in your life, that could be people that you never saw coming, it could be any one of those groups. But nonetheless, let's get to the philosophy.
In his philosophy, Friedrich Nietzsche distinguishes between two types of morality, master morality and slave morality. Master morality is characterized by a sense of pride, self-confidence, and a strong sense of self-worth. Those who adhere to this type of morality often see themselves as superior to others and hold a strong belief in their own abilities and worth. They may see themselves as being entitled to certain privileges and may have a strong sense of entitlement. Slave morality, on the other hand, is characterized by humility, self-abnegation, and a sense of self-effacement. Those who adhere to this type of morality often see themselves as equals to others and may value compassion, empathy, and a sense of community. They may see themselves as being in service to others and may place a high value on altruism and self-sacrifice. Nietzsche suggests that master morality arises naturally in those who are strong and successful, while slave morality is a reaction to the dominant master morality of a society and is often used as a means of opposing the values of the ruling class. He also argues that the Christian ethic of love and compassion is an example of slave morality, as it emphasizes humility and self-sacrifice rather than pride and self-assertion. Overall, Nietzsche's concept of slave and master morality is an important part of his philosophy, as it helps to shed light on the different moral systems that have arisen throughout history and the ways in which they have shaped human thought and behavior.
Now, I find that to be very fascinating. Reason being, I actually find a lot of what Nietzsche says to be very insightful. Now, I want to make a very quick distinction between Nietzsche's philosophy and nihilism. A lot of people think, or nihilism, as my philosophy professor kept hounding me on the pronunciation. When it comes to I'm going to call it nihilism because it's my show and I can do what I want. Calling it nihilism. Nihilism is the idea that nothing matters. I don't think that we need to go that extreme. You can, and I wouldn't blame you, but that's not how I operate. Because if nothing matters, then your life is not worth living. Now, when you can acknowledge that a lot of things are empty and have no meaning, but then you could also say that I can make things matter. So when we get this idea of morality, you can make certain things important to you. So in this distinction between the master and the slave, you don't have to necessarily be completely domineering and destructive and borderline, you know, terrible to be, you know, a master being someone who likes to give and be generous doesn't make you a slave. But I think it's an interesting parallel because a lot of men were categorized by our worth is categorized by what we give, what we do for others. That's usually what characterizes a good man, right? You're often told, oh, look at Henry over there. He's a nice guy. He's been working in the church for 15 years and he's never seen a dime. Or you look at the guy who is always on call and he's always helping other people. He's a good man. When's the last time you saw a man who stood up for himself, pursued what he wanted, risked, lost, won, and eventually he's winning, he's on top? When was the last time we heard that man described as a good man? Probably never.
I love the poorly educated.
That's a very poorly educated mindset, because your idea of worth by society is if you give, you are good, and if you, quote, take, you are bad. When the man who created a company, he gave a lot, but he gave it at a price, versus the man who gave for free was seen as morally superior. And also, we could dive into this master versus slave morality as saying that if you are perceived as weak, you are morally superior to the strong. I think that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, and I'll explain why. The difference between a hero and a villain is not that the hero is harmless or that the villain is vindictive. It is that the hero and the villain are equally matched, but one fights, well, arguably, the only difference is that one won and then wrote the history. I mean, that's what we see throughout world history, but for the sake of argument, we'll make the assertion that the hero had the moral high ground, and he was strong, but it was only because he had the strength to be evil that his being good actually mattered. In the same way that if you as a man are... you have rear rich, you have power, you have conviction, you have drive, and you use that for the betterment of humanity as well as for yourself, whether it's you produce a good or you provide a service that people need, you then are somebody who is moral, who is a hero, or someone who is using that strength to a good source versus just being a destroyer. I would categorize people into two groups. There are creators and destroyers. If you look in human history, there are men who are great, the great men, the men who you read about in history books who are referenced all the time even today, even though they might have lived thousands of years ago. They were either creators or destroyers. They either created something that stood the test of time, or they destroyed something that was at the pinnacle of its time. So when we get this idea of morality, morality is often used as a spear by which to keep you and your ambitions at a distance from being achieved. Let's continue. I think it's good. We mentioned utilitarianism. I think it's important that we discuss utilitarianism. So let's discuss utilitarianism right now, and let's see what you think about it. Let me know in the comments below.
Step into the realm of ethical theory with utilitarianism, where actions are judged by their consequences. Imagine a world where every choice is made to maximize happiness and minimize suffering, the principle of greatest happiness. A doctor choosing which life to save, a leader deciding on war, these are real world quandaries solved through utilitarian calculus. But the path to maximum happiness isn't always clear, and individual rights can be overshadowed. In this world of utilitarianism, the scales of justice tip towards the greatest good. Remember, every choice matters. This is King Damocles' empire, where ethics come alive.
See, the reason I don't personally like the idea of utilitarianism, I find it to be rather deplorable, is because the strong can never be an army. I think it was James Watson, one of the creators, he created the way to decipher. He was one of the unravelers of DNA along with Francis Crick. James Watson is famous for saying that the strong can never be an army, that the people who are weak-minded or that have weak genetics could always be in a group, but the strong would always be individuals because they can never be an army. They are usually the ones who lead the armies, but they can never be associated with people who are like them for too long. The same way that I don't like utilitarianism because I'm not a normie. I don't like the idea of the greatest good for the greatest people because you're assuming that all those people are equal, which is a whole nother discussion, which has nothing to do with skin color, has nothing to do with financial status, has nothing to do with any of that. It has to do with your ability to provide and your ability to create or to destroy what we were just talking about. So when we get this idea of what it matters for men, you as a man, you have to decide who you want to be and why. Not for women, although you will see results. Not for money, even though you will see results. Not for looks, even though you will likely see results. Those are all indicators of, as you get higher, those things will, quote, validate you at your status. If you're a guy who says you're the man, but your wife or your girlfriend looks like Stalin's housekeeper, then you're not the man, because hypergamy dictates that if you were, you would have a higher caliber of woman because she would be availing herself to you at all costs. Same way that if you are the man, so-called, and you're broke, you're probably not the man. Now, if you were rich, you went broke, and then got rich again, different story. And none of these stages are permanent, by the way. In the same way, when it comes to morality, the weak often blame their problems on the strong. They say, hey, it can't be my fault. We've always been poor. My father was poor. My grandfather was poor. It's society's fault. It's not my fault. Morality would dictate that it'd be a good thing for you to give them money when, in fact, money is not the problem they have. It is the lack of money that is their problem. And then you get into the conversation of what is money. Money is an idea. Money is equal to the service that you render, is how much you will receive. So if you are someone who is poor, there's a difference between being poor and being broke. Broke is temporary. Poor is a mindset. I understand a lot of people are not going to like this, but this is what ethics and morality is. You think that doing, quote, the right thing makes you a good person. I say that's not true. I think that's oversimplifying it, because you want to have some semblance of self-righteousness. So when we get this idea of being a strong man and having morality, morality is not something that you should just copy-paste from society. It is something that you should provide yourself through fire. You should forge it through fire. You should test it and say, hey, do I believe in this? Yes or no? Yes? Okay, I'll keep it. No? Okay, I'm getting rid of it. You might say, well, Austin, you can't pick and choose. And I say, yes, you can. Because everybody does that. Everyone has always done that. In case you didn't know, even at the Council of Nicaea and the Diet of Worms, they decided which books would be in the Bible. That's picking and choosing. Oh, I know they did it under the guise of, oh, this is holy and this one's not, but they still pick and chose. That's all I'm going to say. The same way that you as a man have to pick and choose what you believe in this life and what you don't believe, what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. So using morality as a compass often leads you to making the worst decision for yourself and the best for other people who are not going to care about the sacrifice you just made. Versus if you sacrifice and you produce a product or a service that you then profit from, you both helped people and got money as a result. Because you created something. You didn't just create a construct. You created something concrete. I hope this isn't going over your head. I'm not trying to talk down to you when I say that. It's something that it took me a long time to understand and to comprehend, that being a good person, so-called, usually means being a bad person for yourself. Putting yourself last, and you're going to slowly over time start to hate yourself for that. Because subconsciously you're like, I can't keep this up. Because I'm going to be living with myself the longest period of time, statistically, than anybody else will. And so therefore, why would I not invest in myself? A lot of people who are frustrated in their life, they think that if they only had money, that fixed their problems. When they have some money now, but they're not investing in themselves. They're not trying to make themselves better than associate with like-minded people who have also made that sacrifice, who have also picked and chose, who have also forged their own future using the fires of fate. This is something that a lot of people are not willing to do because they don't want to be seen as immoral, bad people, or even morally gray people. They don't want to be seen that way because then they think their status will drop. Because in what Andrew Tate calls the Matrix, the normal society, people want to fit in. Even going back to high school, we learned that we want to fit in, right? Stand out. We don't want to, you know, subject ourselves to possible scrutiny, when in fact it was the popular people who stood out that got the most praise. You see how backwards that is? Same thing in today. If you stand out, you think you're going to get ostracized. You might by some, but probably not as much as you think. because you have the guts to do what they wish they could do, but they don't have the cojones to get off their behind and go get what you have. My friends, I hope this is I hope this isn't too esoteric, but I really wanted to discuss this today because I see a lot of men, myself included back in the day, and some of my friends even now, who they use morality as like a shield and a sword simultaneously to strike people down who they don't like and to defend themselves against the fire arrows of the opposition, when I don't think it should be morality that you're using, but your own mentality and your own philosophy that you've developed that will lead you down the path that you've chosen. So that's why I thought this was important today, because that's what led me down the path to being a biblical bachelor, was this exact philosophy that we're talking about today, amongst others, but it was one of them. And let me just say that just doing what other people think is good doesn't automatically make me a good or bad person, because I'm not accepting that label. Just as you might not accept a woman's evaluation of you, you don't have to accept people's financial evaluation of you. You don't have to accept people telling you that you're no good or that you are good. You don't have to accept that if you don't want to and forge your own path. You just have to be willing to tell them to F off in plain English. My friends, please leave your comments below and let me tell me what you think. Let me know what your thoughts are and what you think is true, untrue, did I step on the wrong toes, did I step on your toes just enough to get you to think? Let me know. But like I said, last closing thought, I will be going to Europe starting tomorrow. So you might be seeing this while I'm on, probably going to see this while I'm on the plane going to Europe, but I will do my best to still give you guys commentary. You just might not see my handsome face. You might not be able to see it, but I'm going to still be producing as much content as possible, because I firmly believe in the biblical bachelor community. I believe in all of you. Even though some of you disagree with me, I totally understand that. That's totally fine. But we're all trying to grow together. Sometimes you guys give me food for thought in the comments, and I appreciate it. So it's time that we'll probably be a little different in the next couple weeks. But just know, I am not giving up. I'm not checked out. Hopefully YouTube doesn't ban me. I doubt it, but we'll see. And until then, if you guys see my face again, hopefully I can figure out something as time goes on. You let me know. I look forward to hearing from you. I appreciate all of you. Take care of yourselves. I'm out.